Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all adoration. We say, be thou exalted. We say, be thou glorified. We say, thank you, Father. We thank you because you have not left us alone. We thank you because you are the one working through us, both to will and to do of your own good plan. We thank you for the righteousness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go forth tonight, even as we look at your word, we ask that you reveal yourself to us in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, I rely on you tonight to teach us, to teach even me in the name of Jesus. I rely on you, Holy Spirit, speak through me to us tonight, even to me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for in Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You are welcome to the month, or say the season of new beginnings. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this first off. Now, one of the reasons that we know that God tells us what he has prepared for certain reasons, certain seasons, is so that we may know and we may walk in the knowledge that we have. Hallelujah. It is so important that men know. Hallelujah. It is so important that men know and understand what is available for them. Because if men do not have this knowledge, you are not going to be able to experience. Hallelujah. It's so important. So tonight we're looking at epignosis. We're starting a series, epignosis. And let me just help us understand from the beginning. The emphasis of this series is to understand the workings of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Hallelujah. So when we say epignosis, we are talking about practical now knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The kind of knowledge that you may walk in and give you the kind of life that you have. Hallelujah. Now, it's so important that we understand that knowledge is very crucial to the experience that men have. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. Today, we're just going to do a bit of introduction by the grace of God, and we trust the Holy Spirit to help us. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. We're reading from verse 1, from verse 9 down to verse 11. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. Hallelujah. Now, I read. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. This is Apostle Paul speaking to the Colossians Christians now. He said, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. He says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Now, listen to this. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. We are asking God, we are praying for you, continually asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So there is a kind of wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. But the Bible says that this wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives is as a result of possessing the knowledge of God's will. Hallelujah. Now, if you are a spiritual person, you would understand that you require the knowledge of the will of God, okay? That is, if you're a spirit being now, you would require the knowledge of the will of God to thrive as a spirit being. Now, look at what the Bible says here. It says that we are praying for you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding that the Spirit gives, he says, so that you may live a life, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So if you do not possess the knowledge, we're looking at the first fragment of these three combination now. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You must understand that even as spirits, the three of them are three different spirits. Hallelujah. Even spiritually speaking, the spirit of knowledge is different from the spirit of wisdom. It is different from the spirit of understanding. Spiritually speaking, I mean in terms of spirit beings, knowledge is different from understanding. It is different from wisdom. Hallelujah. So functionally, even the three of them are spiritual beings, so to say. Maybe you don't believe me, Isaiah chapter 11. Let's read Isaiah chapter 11, please. Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1. So that we might see what I'm saying. Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1. So it's so important for us to understand. Now look at this. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Listen to this. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This scripture is talking about the seven spirits of God. Sometime later this year, by the grace of God, we'll talk about this phenomenon, the seven spirits of God. Now, this scripture is talking about the seven spirits of God. Now, listen to this. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. So that is to tell you that wisdom itself is a spirit, one of the spirits of God. Are we together now? Understanding itself is a spirit, one of the seven spirits of God. And then if you read it down, the spirit of counsel and of might and of knowledge and fear of the Lord. So the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord is what Colossians 7:1 verse 9 later called the spirit of knowledge of his will. So, for you to understand that they are distinct beings. Hallelujah. They are distinct manifestations of God. So, as a gift, these three, we must understand that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding are spiritual beings, as we have seen in the Bible now. At the same time, they are distinct entities. That's the best way to look at it. Distinct entities. So one of the first things you must understand is that knowledge is spiritual. Let nobody deceive you. Knowledge is spiritual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let no one deceive you. Knowledge is entirely spiritual. Everything about knowledge is spiritual. Now, this is it. Apostle Paul was praying this prayer, and he was telling the Colossians that, I pray for you that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he says, when you have this, says, so that you may live, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. So that you may live a life worthy of being a carrier of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the kind of knowledge that you possess enables the life that you have. Oh, let me put it this way. Regardless of the kind of being that you have, the kind of knowledge you possess is reflected in the results that you have. Hallelujah. So a combination of your knowledge and your being is what brings out the results you have. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening to me? A combination of your knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and the kind of being that you are, is what determines the kind of results that you can have. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I am, I am born of God. Oh, I am a son of God. Oh, I am redeemed. Oh, I am this, I am that. I have all the spiritual blessings upon me. Listen to this. It is important for you that this, your nature is wonderful. From the day you received the Lord Jesus, you have received a wonderful spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9. The Bible says, please post it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9 down to 13. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man. Listen to this. These are the three perceptions that knowledge will get in. The three gateways for knowledge: the eyes, the ears, and the perception. The perception here is the entering of the spirit, so to say, the imagination. So God is saying, man has not heard about it. Man has not seen it. Neither have they imagined it. And this is why they have not been able to experience it. Please, down to verse 13. However, as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, nor... You see, I love this NIV version. It says, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10 now says, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his spirit. Listen to this. God didn't just, you know, change us and left us there. He had to reveal it to us by his spirit. And the Bible says the spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. Hallelujah. From verse 12, it says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Listen to this. So after the spirit has revealed these things to us, and we know them, we still need to understand them. Somebody say knowledge. So please do not downplay the role of knowledge. It is so important. It is so, so important. Like I said, this is just an introduction. The kind of knowledge that you possess, there are many sincere Christians, sincere believers. They believe God. They believe in Jesus. They are recreated. They have the power. I mean, they have the spirit. They have the manifestation of, the gift of the Holy Spirit manifesting in their lives and all that, yet they are unable to move from one spot of irrelevance to a life of relevance on earth. Please, by all means, do not belong to the category of people that say these things don't matter. Please, they matter. Hallelujah. By all means. Because there is a tendency for us to think the kind of life that God has chosen for us is to not, you know, is to be poor, downtrodden, irrelevant, and we like to think of it as modesty. That is not modesty. That is what it is. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you have been, you know, translated. Colossians chapter 1, 12 and 13. It says you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. And the Bible says that God has qualified you to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In fact, the Bible says in the scripture we're reading currently that he has given you a lot of things freely. So you cannot see, listen to this, if you are not experiencing the things that God has given unto you freely, first and foremost, you may not know about them. The first reason that you do not experience the things that God has given unto you is that you don't know about them. The second reason is that you don't understand them even if you know about them. And the third reason, even if you understand them, is that you are unable to apply the wisdom that is in them. I tell you what, the keys, okay, that locks the gates of hell. Listen to this. The keys that locks the gates of hell is simply being born again, one, and having access to these three things: knowledge of his will, wisdom, and understanding. I'm frank with you, because the gates of hell is very direct. We have talked about this before. I'm just going to mention them again. The gates of hell are simple. It is simply ignorance, foolishness, stupidity, and indiscipline. These are the gates of hell. Hallelujah. So do not downplay the role of knowledge. Do not downplay it. Do not downplay it. Do not play with it. So the first thing I want us to settle tonight is that knowledge is power. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. We need to look at something. The first statement we are making tonight, and that we're standing by all night, is to understand the power behind knowledge. And then by the grace of God, in our next meeting, we'll take it further. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 9. And also Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. Quickly. Now, Genesis 2, 9. The Bible says, the Lord God made all kinds of tree grow out of the ground. Pay attention, everybody, now. The Lord God made all kinds of tree grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. It says, in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going somewhere with this now. Verse 17, the Bible says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From when you eat from it, you will certainly die. From when you eat from it, you will certainly die. You know, I've asked this question a lot of times, and I will keep asking people, that did they die? Genesis 3 and 7. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. Now, God made different kind of trees grow up in that garden. And one of the notable trees is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Pay attention to this. And now God told them that they should not eat from that tree. I thought knowledge of good and evil was supposedly good. But God said they should not eat from that tree. Now, this is why. The Bible now says something. We know many times we think that, hallelujah. So there's disobedience to God. When Adam disobeyed God, they died. But that was not the only problem. It is true that Adam indeed disobeyed God. And that's a very serious issue on its own. But that was not the only problem. In fact, if the disobedience of Adam was the only problem that men are, listen to this, such as what the disobedience of Adam led to was death, right? That single act of disobedience led to death. Now, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. If that was the only problem, then the coming of the Lord Jesus and accepting the Lord Jesus, okay, would have been the only solution required to go back to the status of Adam in those days. That is to say, would have been the only solution required. Just accepting the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior would have been the only solution required to have dominion in the world. Have you not asked yourself, how can you call yourself a son of God and there are things that God has created, they are not even responding to you, okay? They are punishing you. There is something that is still missing. Now look at this. Now Genesis 3:7, the Bible says, then the eyes of both of them were opened. Hallelujah. The eyes of Adam and Eve became opened after they ate from that tree. Now the question I wanted to ask is this, were they blind? You know, we need to ask critical questions when we read the Bible. Did they die? I mean, were they blind, rather? Now, we remember this, that Adam and Eve, okay, named all the animals that were existing then. So it couldn't have been blind. It couldn't have been blind. But the Bible said that when he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says that their eyes were opened. And now, listen to this. When the Bible says eyes, in this case, it means that they received a new consciousness. Hallelujah. So the eyes were open that the Bible talked about was simply that they received a new consciousness that was not there before. Hallelujah. Now, what the consciousness that they received, hallelujah, is what men today calls the mind. Genesis 2, 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, and God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then God breathed into him the bread of life. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that a man became a living soul. That day, man became a soul that was alive. So we know practically that man is a spirit. He has a soul and, you know, he lives in a body. Everybody knows this, that man is a spirit. Practically, what is called man is a spirit. Practically, he just lives in the body and he has a soul. But God said, I mean, the Bible said that after God gave him that bread, Adam became a living soul. So there is a living soul and there is a dead soul. Hallelujah. We're together now. So man became a living soul. Now listen to this. The soul, or let me say the realm of the soul, the soul of a man is the seat of his will, it is the seat of his emotions, and the seat of his intellect. I repeat, the soul of a man is the seat of three things: his own personal will, his emotions, and his intellect. Now, these three things are determined by the informations that are in the soul. Listen to this. These three things are determined by the information that the man is exposed to. So Adam didn't have a problem giving names to all of the animals because the source of the information that was empowering him as a person came from God. Are we together now? It's so important that you understand this. It was tapping directly, it was taken directly from his father. So he was performing the will of God, hallelujah, naturally, walking in the will of God. Because he was taking information from God. So now you understand that the soul is as important on the head. In fact, talking about manifestation on the head, the soul is the most important part. The soul of a man. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I just want to lay a foundation tonight. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. The Bible now said that their eyes were open. Genesis 3:7. It says, then the eyes of both of them were open. The eyes of both of them were opened. Somebody is wondering if Adam indeed was a living soul, and he indeed, hallelujah, and he indeed had access to the mind of God, which was already evident, okay, by naming all the animals, hallelujah. Why then was he deceived by the devil? The truth is this, that Adam was not deceived. The Bible never said that the man was deceived. The Bible never records that the man was deceived. In fact, the only thing that made Eve become easily deceived was because the devil, okay, made her to see the plant from another perception. The devil fed her some information, and her perception, her intellect began to process the fruits differently. She began to see it. The Bible says that she saw it as a fruit that is good for one, and, you know, desiring to the highest too, and at the same time, it is able to give you wisdom. And so she took it. And so since she was not the one that received the instruction directly from God, she would not know the implications. Hallelujah. So she took it. The man took it only because his wife had taken it. As it is, he must have thought, as it is, we're already in trouble. So let's go enjoy the trouble. Are we together now? So Adam was not deceived. Make no mistake. But one thing happened for sure. He received a new consciousness. Now I like to tell people this. That if the tree is the knowledge of good and evil, what would the fruit be? Of course, the fruit of the tree would be the knowledge of good and evil. And so what they had was the knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible says that they indeed received the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did this, their nakedness, I mean, their consciousness was changed in a way. So what the Bible records as the knowledge of good and evil, I mean, that fruit produced what is called the minds of man today. That fruit installed a new programming in a man called a mind. Now, man used to have the mind of the spirit. Now, his spirit became separated from God. Hallelujah. And so, he now had to contend with the mind that is under the influence of the devil. This is why in Genesis chapter 3, after some time, God said, you know, behold, these guys have become like us. Now, like us there is wrong. It is not God that said they have become like us. What God said is that these guys have become like gods. Why? Because they now know the difference between good and evil. They no longer have access to our own minds, but they now know good and evil. So before they take their hand and eat from the tree of life, that they may live forever and not die. Are we together now? Let's send them out. Somebody will be like, but why would God not want to share his knowledge with them or share the knowledge of good and evil with them? The problem was not the mind that they were carrying. The problem was that they had become slaves to Satan. And so from that moment onward, the minds in them, forget it, was already enslaved to Satan. I am telling you, I know this story might seem boring to you, but it's so important that you understand. So the natural man, forget it. No matter how intellectual he may seem, no matter how smart he may seem, he is carrying a mind that is already enslaved to the devil. Naturally. Hallelujah. No matter how nice and wonderful and great the man may want to be, no matter how many books, how many things he has read, no matter how smart he may be, sincerely speaking, without God, without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help him, the man is a slave to Satan, and Satan is the source of his information. Now, all knowledge comes from God. Hallelujah. But Satan knows how to make the thing, I mean, how to use the things of God to enslave men. Is somebody listening to me? Knowledge. So you would agree that the minds of men feed on knowledge. But this is the issue. There's a question I would love to ask since when I was little, that if men knew, I mean, had access to the knowledge of good and of evil, why did they continually did evil? Why? If men knew, I mean, they had access to the knowledge of good, they had access to the knowledge of evil, why is it that all through history, man continually began to do evil? They began to walk in ways that were unseemly. Why? Because the mind that they were carrying had become enslaved to the devil. Listen to this. From when a child is born, there is a default programming that enters into that child. Forget it. There is a default programming that enters into that child from when they are small. And this programming aligns with the information that is consistent with the environment that they are born. So a child grow up behaving like the folks of his environment. You don't understand what I'm saying? That is why someone that is born in a certain village or a certain city can behave like people that come from that place. Please make no mistake. It is not just that they learned it. There is a default programming in their minds from when they were born. Because as far as man and flesh is concerned, listen to this. As far as man and flesh is concerned, unless something is done to the spirit, the devil has total control. Unless something is done to the spirit. This is why Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, John chapter 8 and verse 36. He says, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Because if something does not happen to the spirit, there is no chance for the man to get out of the control of Satan. Have you not wondered? Small kids, their mothers are breastfeeding them and they are biting the mothers as an act of defiance. Who taught them? So, because you have a mind, because men have minds, hallelujah, because men have minds, they are prone to behave in a particular way. The mind is powerful. I used to be a mind coach, so I know what I'm talking about. The mind of a man is so powerful. It's so powerful that it can harness all of the abilities that he has. It's so powerful enough for him to even harness the abilities of people around him to get results that he desires. In Genesis chapter 11, the testimony of God regarding certain people was because they gathered together and they were of one accord. God said, these guys, as because they are together, they are unified. Hallelujah. He said, anything that they imagine to do, it shall be done. So this is to tell you that the information that you have access to creates the reality that you have. Hallelujah. So we can identify two problems now. That men died, one, and they gained access to a mind that is less than the mind of the spirit that was there originally, but still powerful. And the real problem that is that this mind is enslaved. Now listen to this. God's solution to both problems is one person. God's solution to both problems is one person, and that person is Jesus. In fact, God's solution, let me put it this way. God's solution to both problems from the beginning, before the Word became flesh, has always been the Word. And so if God wanted to transform a man, go and watch all the people that worked with God and they had a wonderful life, you will find something common about all of them. They knew God. Hallelujah. Listen to what I just said. They knew God. They knew God means that they had access to certain information that came from God. And this information enables them. I am telling you that the words of God that are written in the Bible, they are not just words. They are a power source that if you know, understand, and can apply them, are we going now? Are capable of turning the world around. Tell somebody beside you, knowledge is spiritual. So it is not just about, Jesus. Okay, let's do the scripture now. John chapter 8 and verse 32, please. So you begin to understand. When Jesus said that you will know the truth and it will set you free, there is more to it. Before we read John chapter 8 and verse 32, please, let's read Osho chapter 4 and verse 6, please. Who's reading for us? Who's displaying it? Osho chapter 4 and verse 6. And then John chapter 8 and verse 32. Now, this is God speaking. He said, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. It's because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. My people are perished because they lack knowledge. And now Jesus said, now the language perished there is so important for us to understand. It does not mean that they actually die. It means that their life reduces in quality. Now, this is God speaking. He says, my people, their life is reducing in quality because they lack my knowledge. I was going to now. And Jesus came to say in John chapter 8, verse 32, that you will know the truth and the new truth will set you free. So the truth is capable of setting you free because the truth is a spirit. Now, talking about the mind. The mind of a man needs food. The mind of a man requires fuel. And the fuel of the mind of a man is called knowledge or information. Now, what is knowledge? Practically, what is knowledge? Knowledge is any kind of information that can be aligned. Okay? That can be aligned to create, manage, out there now, or cause things to happen. Any kind of knowledge, any kind of information. So when you sit down, hallelujah, when you sit down and you look at the things you know, not all of them are relevant, but that you have a lack of knowledge is not true. Every day of your life, your perceptive senses are taking in information and analyzing it. Some of them may become relevant, some of them may be irrelevant till you die, but it does not change the fact that it is knowledge. Knowledge in its purest form leads to understanding. So the goal of knowledge is application, wisdom. So knowledge is not, see, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is a complete cycle. So knowledge is useless until it is applied through wisdom. Hallelujah. So your mind takes in information and it uses this information to create your emotions and your will. I'm being honest with you. So the emotions you have and the willpower that you have is as a result of the knowledge that you have possessed. I mean that you possess. And every day of your life, your mind is processing information. Every day of your life, your mind is taking in knowledge. Every day of your life. Now, look at this. If you are now a born-again believer with the vast possibilities that are available to you, hallelujah, being a born-again believer will not automatically turn your life around overnight. It won't. If at Romans chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is God's power to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. It is God's power to salvation. It is God's power to salvation. It is God's power to salvation. The language is salvation. Now, the language salvation means to be saved or to be delivered. Hallelujah. Now, remember that the problem that Adam created was not one, but two. So the language salvation does not only focus on the salvation of the spirit. It includes the salvation of the soul. This is what Jesus was saying in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. That if the Son sets you free, that is, if the Son sets your spirit free, you will become free indeed. But for your soul to become free, you will have to know the truth. So there is the salvation of the spirit, there is the salvation of the soul. And the catalyst for both is the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you become introduced to the gospel of our Lord Jesus, hallelujah, the salvation of your spirit happens instantly. When you hear that gospel, the salvation of your spirit happens instantly. But as you continue in that gospel, verse 17 of Romans says, as you continue in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the reason we are commanded to live by faith is because faith will require that you take in new knowledge of God's word. Because many times, we may not understand why faith is crucial to the Christian world. Because you cannot run the life that you have received with the mind that you have. They are incompatible. The life you have received and the mind you have, they are incompatible. You can't run them together. You can't run them together. This is why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you can't run the kingdom of God with any other kind of mind except God's righteousness. Hallelujah. You can't run the kingdom of God with any other kind of information except God's righteousness. And the Bible now says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And we know, Romans 10:17, that faith cometh by hearing God's word. So practically, your life will conform to the knowledge that you possess. Your life will conform to the knowledge that you are acquiring. So that you go to church and you pray and you go from one prayer mountain to another and they give you oil, they give you water, they give you soap, they give you any of those things. Listen to this. None of those things will create a permanent result and give you the life that you desire. In fact, your desires are determined by the knowledge that you possess. So you can't even have the right desires without the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. You can't even have the right desires without the knowledge of God. Somebody say knowledge. So God created a new spirit into you, and he created a system for that spirit to manifest. So at every point in time, listen to this. While the salvation of your spirit ensures that you reach home, ensures that you get to be one with God after you die. But as far as this earth is concerned, hallelujah, as far as this earth is concerned, the salvation of your soul is important. In fact, your life will reflect the result. Your life will reflect the level of the salvation of your soul. Yeah, that's the way to put it. This is why we have many Christians that are still backward in nature. They are still backward in thinking, backward in desires. While they are sincere Christians, they love God and God loves them, they cannot see what is available for them because they do not know. But the Bible says that we have received the Spirit of God that we may know these things. Why do we have to know them? Because if we do not know them, we can't know that they exist. You know, there's this analogy that I love so much to show you just how powerful knowledge is. There's this analogy that I love so much that if a man was in chains and was locked in a dark room, now in chains and in a dark room, and for some hour, somebody came when he was asleep and took off the chains, he didn't know. And the same person opened the door, he didn't know. You'll be shocked that man would not leave that exact same spot. And this is what happens to believers after they have received the Christ Jesus without pursuing the knowledge of what he has done. Hallelujah. Knowledge. 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 So we are talking about knowledge generally now. We have not even started talking about the knowledge of God. So knowledge generally is power. Forget it. Knowledge generally is power. Generally speaking, knowledge is power. Generally speaking, knowledge is spiritual. Generally speaking, knowledge enables. Generally speaking, knowledge increases or reduces the quality of life. Generally speaking. Because the knowledge that you acquire will determine three important things. Three important things. And it is these three things that determines what your life will look like. The knowledge you desire, you have, will determine your will as a person. It will determine your emotions as a person. And it will determine your intellect as a person. These three things, as far as earth is concerned, they are as important as the spiritual nature that you carry. They are as important as the spiritual life in you. They are as important as the life that you have in you. I remember when I was still, when I was still a mind coach, that we read all kinds of books. Hallelujah. We used to read all kinds of books. I'm very serious now. I used to read all kinds of books, all kinds of funny books. And many of them helped knock me out of the road. I began to see things. I began to believe I could do things. And sincerely, I was walking in the light of those things. And it just got to a point I began to believe that God, if this is all that it requires to get results in that, then nobody needs God. I was on the verge of that. That if knowledge is all that is required to walk the earth, nobody needs God. But thank God, knowledge is not all. Hallelujah. This is why knowledge on its own can be dangerous. On its own, knowledge can be dangerous. So there is a kind of knowledge you can seek. There is a kind of knowledge you must seek. It is the kind of knowledge that got mankind into trouble. Are we together now? It is another kind of knowledge that will take mankind out of that trouble. So respect knowledge. Do not play with knowledge. Consciously be careful with the information you take in. When you are watching movies, be careful. When you are listening to music, be careful. When you are reading, when you are attending services, be careful. I'm being honest with you, I am not boasting. There are sermons I can never listen to. There are preachers, 10 minutes into their preaching, I know I can't just be there. What they are saying is poison. Because knowledge is either food or poison. Knowledge is either food for you or it is poison. I'll begin to round up now. Very important for us to understand. When I was talking to some set of people, that when they wanted to create an acceptance, this was 2 weeks ago, that we see the world as the way it is today, especially this issue about same-sex marriage, gay lesbianism. I told the person that the programming for the reality we are seeing today didn't start 10 years ago. In fact, it didn't start 20 years ago. It must have started 50 years ago or thereabout. The protagonist of this kind of behavior, I will tell you now, started infusing that information to the public space little by little for years, until gradually a part of us began to accept this nonsense as so-called human rights. And so today, even though everybody is not fine with it, are we together now? Even though some of us might not be fine with it, some of us are accepting of it, because the information we have been raised to accept is to accept people of all kinds. I am telling you, gradually, silently, unconsciously, you can take in information that will ruin your life. And the information you take in unconsciously, are we together now? The information you take in unconsciously amounts to over 60% of the information that you have for the average man. So the unusual amount, the mysterious man, the man of God now, would have to consciously take in information to transform him. By the grace of God, from next week Sunday, we're going to start talking about the knowledge of God particularly, and what it means, basically, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, what it means, and how to break it down and begin to, you know, take it in bit by bit. But for tonight, know this, that you are where you are and you are what you are because of the knowledge that you have. I'm being honest with you. I'm being honest with myself. I am who I am today. I am where I am today. I've gotten this far. I've manifested God this far because of the knowledge that I possess. Somebody wants to say because of the grace of God? Yes. Even knowledge is the grace of God. No man has anything except the coming from above. Hallelujah. Even knowledge is a manifestation of the grace of God. So yes, it is the grace of God through knowledge. Please let nobody lie to you. Your prayers are wonderful. Your fasting is great. I will tell you now, your sacrifices are wonderful. But your knowledge is key. Your knowledge is key. Your knowledge is key. There are doors that will remain shut to you until things are revealed to you. Forever, they will remain shut if you do not have the knowledge to open them. Can we begin to pray this evening? This evening, even as we bring this meeting to a close, we want to pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to get your knowledge. Shall we begin to pray now?